which is on page 616 of the Bibles in your pews. A song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Dave. So we heard the Sunday school, they're looking at Jude this morning, with a great promise of him who is able to keep you from falling. We just had Philippians 4 read, great encouragement to stand firm and how we might do that. But we're looking at Psalm 121 this morning, again, a great encouragement to us about the one who keeps us from falling, helps us stand firm. So let's pray, and then we'll have a think about it. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you, the creator of the universe, the maker of heaven and earth, speak to us and watch over us. May you speak to our hearts from your word this morning. May you work in us by your spirit. May you point us to Jesus, who has gone before us. And may our hope be found in him. In whose name we pray. Amen. Today is the 26th of August, 4 months' time. It will be the 26th of December, Boxing Day, and the beginning of the summer holidays. I wonder if you're planning your summer holidays yet? Perhaps, perhaps not. At some point you will be planning them, where you'll go, when you'll go, and at some point you'll probably start planning the journey itself. What time of day do you leave? Who's going to sit where? Where are you going to stop to eat? And very importantly, what are you going to listen to? What are you going to listen to? Are you going to try and make it so that everyone listens to the same thing in the car, or are you going to give in and watch those earbuds go in and it's just you left alone with your thoughts? What are you going to listen to? Are you going to have one artist, one album, or are you going to mix it up with a playlist of various different things? Are you going to go for something new, set a soundtrack to the summer of 2019, or are you going to go safe with the classics? Songs can have very strong associations for us as we listen to them in particular places. I can still listen to music today, and I'm taken back, I'm transported to being a 11-year-old holidaying in the Lake District, and my brother's weird taste in Icelandic music connects that with me. Songs have strong associations for us, and Psalm 121 is a song which has a very strong association. It's an association of a journey. It is a song of ascents. As you see there at the top of the psalm, it's on page 616. There are 15 songs of ascents in the psalms, and they're songs that pilgrims used to sing on their journey to Jerusalem. They're traveling to Jerusalem for a festival, perhaps Passover, Pentecost, Feast of Tabernacles, and as they travel, they're singing. They're remembering what God has done for them. They're remembering who God is. And they're giving thanks to him and looking to him and remembering his promises. So you can imagine being on a journey with your family. You've got your pack animals, don't have a car, of course, and you're wandering down a valley next to a river. And that's all right, it's quite hot. And you keep traveling down, and you get to this town called Jericho, and you're in the lowest point of dry land on earth. You turn inland, and you see these hills and desert. And that's what you've got to do next. Nothing left but to climb up to Jerusalem 1,000 meters above where you are in the hot desert. And that's your walk. So what do? You sing. And Psalm 121 is this wonderful song, wonderful psalm of trust in who God is. We'll look at it 2 verses at a time, pretty much. But really, 2 things from it. One is looking for help, verses 1 and 2, and then for the rest of the psalm, looking to the one who is looking to help, God, who watches over us. So looking for help, verse 1, is what they're doing. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Imagine this pilgrim again, turned in from Jericho, looking to the mountains, to the desert, and what does he see? He's looking for help. There is more than just a tramper's struggle going on in this. As he looks to the mountains, there's a lot going on. He looks to the mountains and sees danger. The water dries up. There are bandits lurking behind corners, beasts hungry, the precipitous edges and steep drops, and it's hot. And so perhaps he's looking up to the mountains and he sees danger. But even more than that, maybe these pilgrims are looking up to the mountains and looking for some help. Last week in Psalm 115, we thought about idolatry, and people would worship these little statues, and they couldn't see, they couldn't speak, they couldn't hear, but people worshiped them regardless. And in Israel, they had places where they would worship these little statues at shrines. There are high places. They used to worship at high places. And in Israel, it is said in the Old Testament that on every high hill and under every green tree, there was a shrine to worship. For example, I'll show you on this map. There's Jerusalem right here in the green. And if you'd like an estimation of the shrines and high places you could have gone to, that's everything in red. That's quite a bit. So you can imagine this person making their way, this family making their way down for pilgrimage. And it's hot, hard work. And they're passing shrine after shrine after shrine after shrine. Why are they going to Jerusalem when they could just go to this mountain and worship here? Go to whichever local god is nearby and give their sacrifice there. What's the point? Why are they doing this? Why do they keep going when they could just stop off nearby? Why am I doing this? How will I keep going? Easy questions to ask on the journey. The tramper may ask that. Why am I doing this? I could have looked at the view on the internet. Or the parent, after their child has been car sick for the 5th time. Why am I doing this? Could have stayed at home. Or the marathon runner, raising money for a good cause. Why am I doing this? I could have written a check. And in our Christian journey, our Christian life, it's an easy question to ask. Why am I doing this? How will I keep going? How will I get to my destination? When it's hard. When the Sunday school children aren't listening. When it's difficult to get out of bed in the morning. When the Bible reading is just difficult or challenging to us. When our work colleagues seem to mock us for trusting in Jesus. When our family appear to feel quite judged by our beliefs, even though we haven't tried to be judgmental, they seem to be quite judged, and that hurts. Or when sin is so just irresistible, and we can ask ourselves, well, why am I doing this again? When there's another alternative, I could stop off at this other mountain. How will I keep going? Well, think about what we're going through as a church at the moment. So much uncertain ahead of us, and changes which can be unsettling. And on top of all the difficulty that many of us are going through, and we can ask, why am I doing this again? How will I get there? How will I keep going? The answer is that question. Where, verse 1, where does my help come from? It doesn't come from the mountains. It doesn't come from these alternatives. We saw that last week. These idols are fake. They're foolish. Now, our help, verse 2, comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Why am I doing this? How will I keep going? Remember who God is. He is the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He is eternal and powerful and infinite. What a privilege it would be to have him on our side, caring for us, protecting us. And that's not just a nice thought, it's not just nice hope. The clue is in the word Lord in verse 2. See, it's in capital letters. My help comes from the Lord. That's Lord in capital letters referring to Yahweh, or some may know as Jehovah, but I am who I am. The name that God has given to his people when he's making promises to them, and he's saying, I'm committed to you. I care about you. I have promises to look after you and to provide for you and bless you. My help comes from the Lord, not some distant, made-up God, but from a God who's actually spoken and promised and cares about us. So the answer is, remind ourselves who God is. And that is where verses 3 to 8 go. We look to the one who himself is looking to help. Verses 3 and 4, let me read them again. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. We're looking to the one who looks to help, and he is neither slipping nor sleeping. Verse 3, he will not let your foot slip. Again, picture this pilgrim making his way with his family up the hilly track, perilous steep drops nearby, and this pilgrim is utterly reliant on God for every single step, knowing that God is in control of all things. He is sovereign over history. He is in charge. Every step that we take is dependent on God. Every breath is reliant on God. And God will not let your foot slip. God will make sure that this pilgrim gets to the destination of worshipping him in Jerusalem. God will make sure that we get to our destination. He's always at work. He's always at work, even when we're doing nothing at all. He's not sleeping. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God is always at work, always in control, always in charge, always looking to care for his people. And compare that to ourselves. What are we like when we haven't slept? Doesn't make us stronger, does it? Doesn't make us better. We are limited. We cannot survive without sleep. We need sleep. And it's a profoundly theological thing that we do when we do sleep. In effect, we are saying, there's nothing more I can do. For the next 8 hours, if you're lucky, when my eyes are closed, I'm doing nothing. I cannot contribute towards the things that worry me. I can't solve my problems. I can't do more work. I'm at my end of my strength. I can't do any more. I am not responsible. I need sleep. Whereas God still doesn't sleep. Sleep is an acknowledgement that God is in control, that when I sleep, the world will keep spinning. I trust I will keep breathing, life will keep happening, and my troubles will still be there. And I can't do anything about it, but I need to sleep. When you go to bed tonight, or even this afternoon, for those of you who aren't pulling an all-dayer, you can come before God and you can pray. You can say, Lord, there is nothing more that I can do. I am not responsible. I am not in control. But I rest in the knowledge that you neither slumber nor sleep, that you are in control, that you love me and you care for me. And when I wake up, you will still be in control. Our God neither slumbers nor sleeps. You can imagine the pilgrim there, set up the campsite. It's a family. They may leave one person on the watch for any animals or bandits coming past. But even if that watchman falls asleep, God is there. He's in control. Verses 5 and 6, God is protecting. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. He protects. He is our shade. walking in the hot sun, energy and strength being sapped by the heat of it, and the thirst and the hunger. And these pilgrims come to a shelter, maybe a tree or a cleft in a rock. They can get out of the sun. They can rest. And just maybe remember that experience. Just getting out of the intensity of the sun can be like a drink of water. It's a relief. It's a refreshing. And this pilgrim knows that, well, God is our true shade. And the sun goes down and the moon is there and it's night. And it's cold and there's a fire there and a blanket to keep you warm. And you're grateful for those things. But still knowing that God is your true shelter, your true protector, your safe place. What is your safe place? Where do you most feel safe? Maybe you think of your house being cozy by the fire or the heat pump in my position, and there's a big storm suddenly coming past. It's raining, but you feel safe. You're inside. You're comfortable. But so many of you know much better than me how fragile our homes are. Or maybe you feel safe with a loved one. Someone you care about deeply and who cares about you deeply, and you feel safe in their company. But we all know that also is fragile. Life is fragile. Maybe it's your bank account that makes you feel safe. But you can be honest with yourself, what's in there is also fragile and may go. Last week we thought about idols, as I said, and we were thinking about putting the expectations that we should have of God onto other things. And how tragic that is. God is our true safe place. We cannot put the expectations of safety that we'd expect from God on other things. They're fragile. But God is our shade. He watches over us. And verses 7 and 8, he is always watching. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. There's a repeated word through this psalm. It appears 6 times. It's the word watch. One time it comes up as the word keep. Verse 3, he who watches over you will not slumber. Verse 4, he who watches over Israel. Verse 5, the Lord watches over you. Verse 7, the Lord will keep, same word, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. Verse 8, the Lord will watch over your coming and going. This isn't a distant watching. It's not like he's peering through a window, like it's Celebrity Big Brother or something. He is an active watching. He cares. He's overseeing. He's protecting. And he is always watching us. Those verses there, verses 7 and 8, are really comforting words to hear. They're wonderful words to hear. I can imagine them being on those inspirational posters you see coming up in your Facebook newsfeed. I can imagine them being carved ornately and stuck up in someone's house in a frame. Great words. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. I can imagine that being great comfort to someone who is feeling afraid of what is coming. God is watching over me. They're great comfort to someone who's feeling comfortable at the time. God is watching over me. But if you're feeling broken this morning, how does it feel to read those words? The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. How does it feel to read that? For many, it may feel very difficult to read that. You can read that and think, well, what about all the harm that I'm experiencing? What about all the harm I've just suffered? Is this true? Is this good? Or is it not just mocking me? It's not because of lack of faith that you're suffering from harm. Christian history tells us anything. It tells us that Christians suffer. 2,000 years, Christians have suffered. So, what do we make of this? What do we make of verses 7 and 8? Are they true? Of course, we want them to be true, but are they? The answer is Jesus. The answer is the cross. Jesus sang this psalm. He was the perfect, faithful Israelite. He sang this psalm. God watched over him. Jesus was in the wilderness. God watched over him. And yet, Jesus suffered greatly. The worst suffering. He was betrayed. He was mocked. He was brutally killed. And when he hung on the cross, the psalm that was on his lips was not this one. It was, my God, why have you forsaken me? But we know that that was not the end of the story, don't we? Jesus did not stay on that cross, and he did not stay in that tomb. Jesus rose. He conquered death. You can look at the whole story, and you look at the whole journey, and yes, God watched over him. Ultimately, God kept him from harm. He conquered death. And so if we're struggling reading these verses, think of Jesus and look to the one who has gone before you. He's suffered greatly, and yet at the end of the journey, there is peace. There's glory. Jesus suffered on our behalf. In fact, the way that God keeps us from the harm that matters, the most important harm, from judgment and death, is by suffering on our behalf. Jesus went on the cross and died in our place. And he conquered death. So we can know that death will not conquer us. We can know that we are safe. We have life with him. So if here this morning you are feeling particularly broken, you are still safe. You are still safe in the Lord Jesus, trusting in him. He watches over you. He cares. He loves you. You are safe. And if you aren't feeling broken, you are feeling afraid of what's to come, or you're just feeling comfortable, well, the things you fear may still happen. But trust in Jesus, you'll be safe. He loves you. He cares about you. He watches over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. He's always watching. So when we're asking this question, why am I doing this? How will I keep going on this journey? Remember who God is. Remind yourself that he watches over you. He is the maker of heaven and earth. Remind yourself of that. Keep coming back to that. There's a lady in the news recently, last week or the week before, quite remarkable story about a British woman who fell off a cruise ship and was in the open sea and survived floating in the open sea for 10 hours. Middle of nowhere. Including overnight, including in the darkness where it's practically impossible to be found. And when she was asked about things that she did during the night, she said she sang. She sang songs that helped her keep going. Now, I don't know what song she sang. But look at the words of this song. Isn't this incredible? When we're going through dark times, we have light. We have Jesus. He will keep us going. So an encouragement for us from Psalm 121 is not just remind ourselves who God is, but keep on doing it and keep on doing it for each other. Tell yourself that truth. Sing it to yourself. Sing it to each other. Remember who Jesus is, who has gone before you. Know that the Lord will see you at your destination. You will come to the heavenly Jerusalem. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the great words of truth in this psalm. We thank you that you love us and care about us and watch over us. And as we struggle on the journey, as we look to other options and wonder why we're doing this, please encourage us. Please point us to Jesus, who's gone before us. Please remind us of who you are and help us to sing this truth to each other. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.